Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com. To join their team. Caps fall in the second playoff game against the Rangers last night, 4-3. They're down 2-0 in the series. We'll talk to Greg Wyshynski next. Actually, right now, senior NHL writer at ESPN, Greg Wyshynski joins us. What's up, Greg?
What's up, Junks? How are you?
Good morning.
Good. You know, kind of assessing that game. It's better than game one, right?
Yes, there was marked improvement over game one in the sense that I thought maybe there could be five games at least in the series, while in game one I did not believe that could be the case. Yeah, I mean, they played better. They clearly, you know, finally got their power play going, which was a bit of a rarity against the Rangers this year. They did not score a power play goal against the Rangers the entire regular season or in game one. So that at least gave them a little bit of juice. But again, man, you know, little mistakes all over the ice. By young players and older players that just lead to their demise in game two.
And they did get the power play going. They scored on two of their chances, but still, like, it looks disjointed and weird, and there's not a lot of flow to it. Like, can you describe what's gone wrong with it? I mean, like, coming out of the All-Star break, they were, like, the top power play in the league for a stretch, I think toward the end of the season, but we're not seeing that same sort of fluid movement of the puck. It just... it looks weird and kind of broken to me.
Yeah, because they're playing the Rangers.
Right.
But to be honest, man, the Rangers are the third best penalty kill team in the league. And the way that they do it, they're part of a modern movement in the NHL called the power kill, which is they are looking to score on their penalty kill as much as you're looking to score on their power play. And you can see it in the way that they pressure the points for the Caps. The point men, John Carlson, you know, and others don't have much time to really do anything with the puck. They've been smart in the way that they've handled Ovi on the power play. One, because he's not, you know, moving as much as he obviously used to. But also, you know, they've had basically Mika Zibanejad at times shadowing the guy. But the Rangers have that ability of really kind of disrupting things with how aggressive they are on the penalty kill. They've done it for years, even before Laviolette got there, with Zibanejad and Kreider and Adam Fox and a lot of those guys just really – really being good on the PK. So again, you know, it looks disjointed and it looks ineffective, and a lot of that has to do with who they're playing.
How much better are the Rangers this year with Coach Lav than they were the last few years with Gallant?
Well, I saw them get bounced last year against my beloved New Jersey Devils.
Right.
But you know, the thing that they weren't last year is what they are this year, which is they play with speed. They didn't get faster. Like, they're still kind of a veteran team. It's almost the same personnel that they had last year, outside of a couple of little tweaks. What Laviolette did smartly was get them to, like, make smarter decisions and faster decisions and move the puck quicker. And you can kind of, like, cover up your deficiencies in actual speed if you just play with better pace. So that's one thing he did. And the other thing he did is he really kind of gave them a much better defensive structure coming out of training camp. They don't always play it. There are still times when the Rangers, especially when they're playing at home, seem to get overexcited and like lose their structure and get into kind of a chance for chance game, which is not what they should be doing. But he certainly instilled some fundamental defensive structure in this team that has really paid off. I mean, this team's won the President's Trophy. I mean, they had a great regular season, and I think Laviolette was the right coach at the right time. He's not always going to be able to turn things around in a miraculous way, as Capitals fans know. But you put him on the roster that's deep and talented, and maybe just needs a little bit of structure that they weren't getting with the previous coach, and he can make things really sing.
So, Greg, you mentioned you're a Devils guy. They're owned by Josh Harris, who owns the Washington Commanders, the football team of note here in Washington. Give us some footnotes on the Josh Harris experience as the owner of the Devils. We've had him here for one season here with the Commanders. Obviously, tomorrow night, a big night. They hold the number 2 pick in the draft.
I'm laughing because when he bought the team, you know, I lived in D.C. for a while, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, when he bought the team, all my old friends were, like, texting me, being like, tell me about Josh Harris. I know you're a Devils fan. you know, the ownership group there has been pretty good in the sense of, like, they're fairly hands-off. You know, the hockey operations department with the Devils, Tom Fitzgerald, their GM, and their analytics department kind of run the show. And also, the one thing I'll say about him is that, you know, the pocketbook was always open, too. I mean, they went out and acquired Dougie Hamilton, who at the time was the best free agent on the market as far as defensemen go. And they got him at a time when they were still sort of rebuilding. And you know, he needed to give the green light for them to go out and pursue Hamilton. They got the green light from him. And so, I think he's been a real good owner for the team. They've done some really good work insofar as like creating more of a fan-friendly atmosphere, trying to cater to younger fans, especially too, which I know is a big thing for the Washington football team. Listen, I know where the bar is set previously for the Commanders.
Yeah.
So I mean, anything above that's going to be great. But he's great.
All right, let's talk about Carberry's comments after the game about Ovi. And we were talking about this earlier in the show, and I can't remember another coach kind of, I'm not saying he's calling him out. He wasn't saying anything bad about Ovi, but he's just
being really honest.
He's being very honest, and Carberry's that way. We have Carberry on the show every week, and he's just an honest dude. He doesn't hold back and pull punches. So he says, quote, I thought the first two games he looks a little bit off. He's struggling. It's hard. It's the playoffs on the road. He's getting a tough matchup. And he was talking about, you know, his shots on goal. He's only had one official shot on goal in two games. A lot of them are getting blocked. And then also he had the turnover that on the power play that created the shorthanded goal, which was the clincher. So just kind of talk. And look, Ovi's 38, and it's only two games that he's really struggled. You know, we talked about this in the regular season. He had stretches this year where he just struggled and didn't score and didn't have a lot of shots. But they need Ovi, especially at home on Friday. They need him to be the Ovi of 5 years ago. just kind of talk about, you know, Ovechkin as a whole in this series, and then Carb's commenting on it.
Yeah, I thought Carberry was great last night in a lot of ways. I mean, I don't get a chance to talk to him as often as others do, and whenever I get a chance, like, wow, that guy is one, unfiltered, and two, and two, really, really insightful. But you know what he said last night is accurate. You know, Ovechkin was a non-factor for two games against the Rangers in the playoffs, and to, like you said, to hear a coach outwardly say that he's struggling and kind of go through what's going on with him. You're right. It's not calling him out, but it's definitely calling out his play. He knows how important Ovechkin is to this team. He knows he's a pace setter for this team. He knows that while the Ovi that could carry a team through 82 games might not be there anymore, the Ovi that can carry a team for a week and a half is still there. Mm-hmm. And that's the guy they need. The cool thing about Carberry last night was, like, not only was he pointing out specifically what Ovechkin is not doing, not getting the 4 to 5 good scoring chances a game he should be getting, not getting a shot through the Rangers defense, he also kind of said, here's how this could change. And how it could change is that when you go home, you get the line matchups you want, and he can get Ovechkin away from Lindgren and Fox, the Rangers, you know, top defensive pairing, and hopefully find some favorable matchups for him to really kind of get his game going again.
We're joined by Greg Wyshynski on the BetQL guest hotline. Greg, I'm not going to lead the witness here. I want your individual take on the hit by Panarin on Oshie.
Yeah, it was legal. In real time, it looked real nasty with the way his head snapped back. But first of all, it shouldn't have been a minor penalty, and it wasn't, because Oshie had the puck, so it's not interference. It's just a hit on it's a legal hit on a puck carrier. And then when you watch the replay, again, the NHL rule is the head needs to be the main point of contact for it's been a legal check to the head penalty, which is either a minor penalty or a match penalty, which is what they were reviewing for. And the majority of the contact that Panarin makes with him is with the body. And then there might be some with the head, but the majority of the contact is with the body. So, you know, they didn't get much right last night. The officiating absolutely sucked last night, if we're being honest. But, like, they got that right. And I know
it's not the answer Cakes wanted.
I wanted his opinion. I gave him the floor.
Hey, listen, Cakes, you can find plenty of people, including on my own network, that agree with you that it should be a suspendable offense. But it's, I don't think it is. And also, Oshie came back and played in the game, which is also something that the Department of Player Safety looks at. Insofar as, like, did this disadvantage a team? Did this injure a player? I thought, again, Carberry was really interesting last night because it seemed like he had more concern about Oshie being pulled by the concussion spotters in that game and then it not resulting in a hit to the head penalty, which I think is an interesting gripe to file. But, you know, when you break that play down and when you, you know, kind of get into the granular details of the rule book, I think they called it right. But it also brings us back to a greater conversation, which is, is the rule book right? Like, should they expand the purview of this legal check to the head thing and not make it, like, main point of contact, but make it any point of contact, which is something that a lot of people who, you know, study CTE and concussions and things have been lobbying the NHL to do for years.
So do you think this sets the stage for a really chippy game three Friday night at Capital One Arena? Or do you think Carberry's like, look, let's not have our emotions take over here. We have to go out and win the game, not worry about getting a retribution for Oshie on Panarin.
Oh, we're there already, man. Please note that in game one, Trevor Van Riemsdyk tried to fight the entire Rangers team between periods.
Yeah. Like, bravo, TVR. I like it. I like that moxie.
I was in the press box watching it. I'm like, what is this man doing? it was like a red dot in a sea of blue. It was crazy. But, you know, it's, listen, I think the series has been chippy since the start. What I'm interested in seeing is if there's any level of consistency with the officiating is really the thing. I talked to Strome last night for a bit about it, and these guys are baffled as to what's being called game to game. You know, last night was a lot of stick fouls. Mm-hmm. Strome called them lazy calls, basically, because they wouldn't be things that were called in the regular season. And so for the sake of these players who just want to, like, get into the game and play good 5-on-5, I hope that they can find some level of consistency. Because, like I said, last night was just atrociously officiated insofar as what they were calling and what they didn't call. And so, you know, if nothing else, you know, it might get chippy. But for their sake, I hope they understand where the limits are, because right now nobody knows what's getting called in this series.
Will you be here for game three?
No, man, I'm in New York duty. I got to go cover that other series, that Islanders-Carolina series, to see if the Islanders can blow another lead in the span of 9 seconds.
That was unbelievable. So game three, so I thought, you know, I'm biased, I'm a Caps fan, but I thought there was a little home cooking there for the Rangers in both games. All right. You kind of cleared up the Oshie thing, okay, but I still wanted to see him go to the box. And I don't like Panarin. Don't like him at all. Don't like Zibanejad or whatever.
Yeah, I don't like him.
I don't like any of those guys. But do you think that what's the key for the Caps in game three? And you think that there'll be a little bit of a different officiating tactics?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I hope so. I mean, if anything else, maybe even just like let them play a little bit in the playoffs, which is usually how officiating works and not this ticky-tacky stuff that we saw, especially in game two. But, you know, if you're asking me, can they extend the series? Like you said, off the hop, I think that there's been some good building blocks in game two that you can look back on and say, okay, this is good. I mean, you know, they got some decent looks at Tkachuk, and their power play did convert. You know, they're going to hopefully be able to get some favorable matchups for their veteran players at home that they didn't get in MSG. And again, I also think that while he's not making the kinds of game-saving stops necessarily that he was down the stretch, I think Lindgren's played well. I do wonder about him and the rest of the team, how much energy they had to expend just to get here, mm-hmm. and where that fuel gauge is right now for them, you know, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But they could certainly, you know, make this a much more interesting series in game three. I think that we saw enough from them in game two to think that they might be able to pull out a victory at home.
We've been playing the what's the percent chance that they win the series game since before game one.
It's very low.
All right, I was the most optimistic at 48%. And I've dropped it down to 24%. As we speak right now, they're down 2-0. What do you think the likelihood that the Caps can turn this around and win the series?
Win the series?
He's going to say zero. He'll say zero.
No, I mean, you win the first two games of the series, the percentage chance of you losing the series is pretty low. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but like traditionally, obviously, the Rangers are in a very advantageous position. And especially when they have home ice and they've played as well as they have at MSG and do get those matchups we've been talking about at home, the idea of the Caps, you know, rallying to you know, take a game or two at MSG is hard to conceive. But, you know, the best percentage chance of them winning a game in the series is game three. I mean, after that, if they're down 3-0, you probably got a lot of veteran guys that are like, all right, I'm tired.
You know,
a lot of young guys are freaking out because they've never been in this position before. So that's not a real recipe to see them get a victory. So if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in game three.
Had to happen in game three. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, brother.
Anytime, boys.
Yeah, right, good buddy. Talking to you, man.
Craig Wyszynski, senior NHL writer at ESPN.com. He wouldn't answer the series question, but it sounded maybe like 0 points.
He thought it was almost laughable.
It's common sense.
He thought it was almost laughable.
He's like, what? What are you talking about?
Right.
But didn't we just say that was a team that was down 2-0 last year?
He didn't want to offend.
Came back to win the series and the Devils?
It's not impossible. But what are the chances?
He finds it highly unlikely. That's what I gauged from his response.
How many teams in the history of the playoffs have won the first two as a one seed versus an eight and lost? It's probably very low.
Probably can't be a lot.
Yeah. Oh, no, you threw in the one versus the eight factor, too.
I think that's a factor, don't you?
It makes it a longer shot, for sure. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067 is the number. We will give you a chance to win Caps tickets. Game four on Sunday. That's coming up at 8:45. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.